The afternoon class is very difficult. We're all a little tired. And we have a belly full of rice. And there's a great temptation to go to sleep. But God will help us. So I want you to help by giving your answers. Now, we have been talking about very many important things. We've talked about what is the gospel. We've talked about what it means to be in Adam. What does it mean to be under the law? What is true conversion? What is the relationship of justification and sanctification? Now we want to quickly and briefly review what some teachers call the order of salvation. In eternity past, God the Father planned and purposed our salvation. In time, space, history, the Son of God accomplished our salvation. And in our own life and experience, the Holy Spirit applies our salvation. And we've studied this several times in the last couple of years. But we want to review it very briefly and very quickly. Now look in Romans chapter 8. Very familiar passage. The Apostle Paul is describing the purposes of God. Verse 28, very familiar. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those that love God, who are called according to His purpose. Now, God has a purpose. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 3, it is an eternal purpose. And if you are a child of God, God has called you out of darkness into light according to His eternal purpose. And in verse 29 and 30, he gives a brief overview of some of the aspects of that purpose. Where does it begin? What does he say? Foreknowledge. Verse 30. Where does it end? Glorification. Now, between foreknowledge and glorification, there are many wonderful, powerful truths that God planned and accomplished. Now, some of these unfold chronologically, some of them unfold logically. So it begins with foreknowledge. And it ends with glorification. All right, I gave you about 10 different terms. How did you arrange them? According to Paul, according to the Word of God. Now remember this. In eternity past, there is no time. There was never a time when God did not know us. There was never a time that God did not choose us. But for our purposes, these things unfold in a logical manner. So what did you put second? Huh? Predestination. What did you put third? Look at the text. Verse 30. After he predestined, what did he do? It says he called us. Is that what it says? 30. Now remember, we said there are two callings. There are two callings in the Bible. One is a general call. It's the voice of the preacher. And the proclamation of the gospel, it goes to all men. It goes into their ear. That calling can be rejected. But there's another calling. There's a secret calling. It's an inward calling. It is a spiritual calling. It is not the voice of man. It is the voice of God. Jesus said, "My sheep will hear my voice, and they will follow me." He said in John chapter 5, "There's a time coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of Man and live." In eternity past, foreknowledge, predestination, and our election. But before we believe, because we're dead in sin, he must call us. And it is an effectual call. It's not the general call. It is the effectual call. Many are called, few are chosen. The gospel goes out to all men. Some believe. Why do they believe? Are they smarter than other men? Are they better than other men? Are they more valuable than other men? Why do they believe? Because God calls them to come in their heart. They hear the voice. Then what happens? How can they come? He calls them, but they're dead in sin. They're totally depraved. They're morally unable. They're legally guilty. They're in bondage to the devil. Cannot see, cannot hear, cannot repent, cannot believe. The Bible is very clear. If you don't understand this word, you cannot understand the power of God. Again and again, both Paul and Jesus say it's not just that man will not come, it's that he cannot come. The natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14. And in Romans chapter 8. Those that are in the flesh cannot please God. And they cannot subject themselves to the law of God. His mind is darkened. His heart is hardened. His will is bound. And his conscience may not be working properly. Conscience. Remember the illustration of Lazarus. Lazarus is in the tomb. He's been there 4 days. His body is corrupted. And he has no sight, sense, or feeling. Cannot see. Cannot hear. Cannot walk. Cannot think. Jesus comes to the tomb. And he says, "Roll away the stone." And he says, "Lazarus, come out." But Lazarus is dead. He commands Lazarus to do something he cannot do. Did you hear that? He commands Lazarus to do something he cannot do. He calls him Lazarus. But Lazarus is dead. How does he come? With the voice. With the call. The power of God. Comes and gives new life to a dead body. And he is awakened. And the first thing he does is he comes to Christ. Now that is a picture. Jesus says this, an hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. Then he says, an hour is coming in the future when those in the tomb shall hear the voice of the Son of God. Two kinds of dead men. Two kinds of resurrection. Spiritually dead. Spiritual resurrection. Physically dead. Physically resurrected. He said, now, in the preaching of the gospel, the spiritually dead will hear the voice, and they will live, and they will come. Jesus said this, no man can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Jesus said this, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. How do we see the kingdom of God? By faith. How do we enter the kingdom of God? By repentance and faith. Jesus says this, if you are not born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. If you're not born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. If you are not born again, you cannot repent. If you're not born again, you cannot believe. Most preachers in India, in America, and in China, they say this, your will is not bound. You can come anytime you want to come. Anytime. You just preach the gospel, and they repent, and they believe, and then they're born again.
Okay. पश्चाताप करेंगे विश्वास करेंगे और उसके बाद उनको नया जन्म प्राप्त होगा। बहुत ज्यादा लोग ये बोलते नहीं बोलते हैं, हम प्रचार करेंगे लोग सुनेंगे, सुनने के बाद वो पश्चाताप करेंगे विश्वास करेंगे, जब पश्चाताप करेंगे विश्वास करेंगे तो उनका नया जन्म होगा। ज्यादातर प्रचारक ये बोलते हैं, आप ये बोलते हैं।
तो आई आस्क यू दिस क्वेश्चन,
मैं आपसे प्रश्न ये कर रहा हूं,
रिजेनरेशन
नया जन्म
and faith and repentance. Repentance and faith.
Vishwas or Pashchatap.
Which comes first?
Kaun si pehle aaye?
What do we say true conversion was?
Hum kya bolte hain ki sachcha conversion?
True conversion is two things.
Sachcha conversion do baatein.
Repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Which comes first? After he calls the man, come, live, believe, repent. But we're dead in sin. So before they can come, what must happen to them? God must give them life. And He raises them from the dead. And with regeneration, He gives man two gifts. And what are those gifts? The gift of repentance and the gift of faith. Because it says the Gentile, that when the Acts chapter 10, when the Jews heard this regarding the conversion of Cornelius, he said, well, now God has given to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life. And listen carefully. It's not like this. A man is born again. Then 10 minutes later, 10 days later, 10 weeks later, 10 months later, 10 years later, then he repents and believes. Listen carefully. If you did it in slow motion, I told you before, it's like this. He repents and he believes. But actually, it's like this. Boom. Boom. Life, he comes. Life, he comes. Now, God, Jesus sent life into Lazarus' body. Lazarus was awakened from the dead. What if he said this? I'm not coming out. He had to come. He must come. Because it wasn't the general call. It was the effectual call. Now we've talked about this many times. This is the power of salvation. And when a man repents and believes, many wonderful things happen to him. And it all happens instantaneously. Now, when we talk about union with Christ, we can talk about it in different ways. In one sense of the word, we are united to Christ in eternity past. Because it says He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. But that was in the mind and the purpose of God. It wasn't yet our own personal experience. And when Jesus lived and died on the cross, we were in Him by way of legal representation. And He was living a righteous life on behalf of those He represented. And He died a sacrificial death on behalf of those He represented. But we are not actually spiritually united to Christ until the point of the new birth and conversion. So there is union with Christ. And then many wonderful things begin to happen. We are justified. We are adopted. We are positionally sanctified. Definitive positional sanctification. Now listen carefully. From right here, all the way to here. From right here, when we're called to right here. All of it is just like this. Boom. There's not a sequence. It's just like that. He calls us, and with the call He gives us new life. And we immediately believe and repent. We're joined to Jesus Christ. We are justified. We are adopted. We are set apart and consecrated to God. Then we begin to grow, where there is sanctification, progressive sanctification. And that includes perseverance. The true child of God continues until the end. And the final end is glorification. This happened in eternity past. All of this happened the moment we believed. Then we are progressively sanctified. Then we continue to persevere. Then we are finally and fully glorified. Now we have covered this on several occasions. Now where are we today in this order? Right here. Any questions? Now we've talked about this many times.
कैसी नया जन्म होता है तो हम विश्वास करते हैं और पछता करते हैं, पछता करते विश्वास करते हैं, और जैसी वो उन्हें वैसी ये तब एक साथ हो रहा है, ऐसा नहीं है, एक साथ ये तब एक साथ हो सकता है, और इसके बाद परमेश्वर से मिल जाना, मिलन है, ईश्वर से मिलने की वजह से हम धर्मी ठहराए जाते हैं, हम लेपालक पुत्र बनाए जाते हैं, गोद ले जाते हैं, और फिर हमारे हमारी दशा या हमारी अवस्था पवित्र हो जाती है, हम पवित्र, हमें हमारी स्थिति पवित्रता की होती है, ठीक है, हमारी दशा, हमारा उस समय अवस्था हमारी पवित्रता की होती, और फिर उसके बाद हम प्रतिदिन पवित्रता में धीरे धीरे बढ़ते जाते हैं, प्रगतिशील होते हैं, पवित्रीकरण होता है, फिर उसके बाद अंततः जब हम मर जाएंगे, जब देश में से आएंगे, तो हम महिमानी हो जाएंगे, हमारा महिमाकरण हो जाएगा, अंत में हम महिमा हो जाएंगे, ठीक है। पूर्व ज्ञान परमेश्वर के दिमाग में था सृष्टि से पहले, जब हम अस्तित्व में भी नहीं आए थे, उसने हमको पूर्व निर्धारित किया, ठहरा दिया उद्धार के निमित्त, फिर प्रभावशाली गुलामों की, जब किसी ने हमको प्रचार की, किसी ने बताया, तो सामान्य गुलाहट के साथ, ऊपरी आवाज के साथ, गुप्त में परमेश्वर की आवाज प्रभावशाली तरीके से हमारे पास आई, जैसी वो आवाज आई परमेश्वर की आत्मा की, हमारा हृदय परिवर्तन हुआ, हमें नया जन्म मिला, नया जन्म मिला, ठीक है, नया जन्म मिला, और हमने विश्वास किया और पश्चाताप किया, मसीह से हमारा मिलन हो गया, उसकी वजह से हम धर्मी ठहराए गए, उसकी वजह से हम गोद में ले लिए गए, हम लेपालक पुत्र बन गए, लेपालक पुत्र का अधिकार मिला हमको, और हमारा पवित्रीकरण, हमारी अवस्था या दशा पवित्र हो गई, हम हो गए, दशा हमारी स्थिति, हमारी अवस्था पवित्र है, लेकिन हम प्रतिदिन पवित्रीकरण करते एक चीज खा गए, ठीक है, हम पवित्रीकरण में बढ़ते चले जा रहे हैं, ठीक है, और हम बने रहते हैं, वो भी हम खा गए, और उसके बाद अंत पवित्रीकरण के बाद अनुमानित हो रहा, पवित्रीकरण से पहले हमारी दशा है, हमारी पोजिशनल सैंक्टिफिकेशन, उसको पवित्रीकरण, दशा स्थिति अवस्था पवित्र, परमेश्वर की दृष्टि में हम पवित्र हैं, बिफोर पवित्रीकरण एक और दशा पवित्र, हाँ बिफोर पवित्रीकरण अवस्था पवित्र, अवस्था स्थिति दशा पवित्र है, हाँ उसके बाद पवित्रीकरण, प्रगतिशील पवित्रीकरण, प्रगतिमान पवित्रीकरण, प्रतिदिन हम होते हैं, पवित्रीकरण के बाद बने रहना, डटे रहना, लगे रहना, चलते रहना, न रुकना, न थमना, चलते जाना, प्रभु की दया, अंतिम महिमा में करेंगे। प्रश्न किसी को, कोई दिक्कत, कोई समस्या है, गुस्सा है, नाराज की टिप्पणी, कुछ बोलना है, नहीं बोलना है, खुश, हाँ जी, रीजनरेशन, पुनः उत्पत्ति, मरे हुए हम नया बना दे, नया जन्म, और हाँ नया जन्म,
उसके बाद क्या
है, नया जन्म के बाद विश्वास और पश्चाताप, जैसे नया जन्म मिला, हाँ एक ही बात, फिर में परिवर्तन, नया जन्म की बात है, एक महीने की बात, हाँ जी, तो पवित्र अवस्था में हम पवित्र, प्रभु जी की नजर में हम पवित्र हैं, हमें पोजिशन, हमारी हमारी स्थान उनकी नजर में, उनकी दृष्टि, लेकिन हम प्रगतिशील पवित्रीकरण, प्रतिदिन हम धीरे 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 पवित्र होते हैं, शुभ होते हैं, तो उसके हम विश्वास में बने रहते हैं, लगे रहते हैं, डटे रहते हैं, दृढ़ रहते हैं, फिर अंत में हम महिमा में चलेंगे, ठीक है, यूनिट का
I'll say something about that again. Listen carefully. Go ahead.
कोई पाप हो गया, कोई वाक्य हैं। ऐसा हम इसमें आपको नहीं मिलता, हम तो व्यक्ति का नंबर नहीं बढ़ते हैं, हमसे वहां बोलते ही मिलता है, तो हम वापस आते हैं कोई जगह में नहीं है, आते ही नहीं आते, तो करना क्या है? यही प्रश्न आते हैं
Listen carefully. These are not just words to write down in your notebook. These are glorious truths. This actually happened. You are a preacher. You are an Indian preacher. You speak to Indian people. These are truths to be a blessing and an encouragement and security for the people of God. And your responsibility is not just to write them in your notebook, but to study the Word of God, to understand these truths, to get on your knees and consider these glorious truths yourself. And then to be able to clearly teach them to the people of God. Because Indian people can be very insecure. They don't have much in this life. Not many people love them. Not many people care about them. Not many people are interested in them. If you are a pastor, if you are a teacher, if you love their souls, you have a great responsibility. This is like opening up a box of treasure. Where is their security? Where is their happiness? Where is their acceptance? Where is their treasure? Where is their love? It cannot be in this world. It must be in God and in His truths and in the church among the people of God. It's not something just to write in the notebook. You must study. You must work hard. You must pay a price. You must get on your knees. You must understand these truths and be moved by these truths and be able to clearly teach them to the people of God so they can be encouraged that from all eternity someone knew them, someone loved them, someone cared for them, someone chose them. No one loves them in this life. No one cares for them in this life. No one's interested in their life. There's no security. There's no happiness. Your responsibility is to tell them that God loved them. He chose them. And they are special to Him. And He called them. And He gave them life. And they believed. Because they're smarter than other people? No, because He loved them and He determined to save them. And now they are right with God. Now they are a child of God. Now they have been set apart unto God. Now they have the Spirit of God. Now they have a home in heaven. And if you don't believe that, and you don't feel that, you can't preach that. And the people will not be encouraged. These are not words to write in your book. This really happened. 45 years ago, a young man, he was lost. He was so lost. And God came to him and opened his eyes and gave him faith and changed his life. And now 45 years later, he stands here today and he says this: the only happiness, the only security, the only blessing in this life is in the living God and in the Lord Jesus Christ and in his eternal purpose and in his so great salvation and in his persevering, keeping, secure love. And if you haven't seen that, if you haven't known that, if you haven't felt that, then you cannot preach that. These are not just abstract theological truths, brethren. This really happened. There is a God. He created the world. And he determined to know you and to love you and to save you. Why are you here today? Why are you not out on the street? Because from all eternity, he loved you and he determined to save you. And you need to encourage the poor, dear Indian people. And every day, you ought to get on your knees and start in eternity past and go all the way down through history and your own experience until today. Now, some of you are very young and you don't have much of a history. But some of us that are a little older, we can look back. We see the hand of God, the power of God, the blessing of God, and transforming and changing our lives. You need to think about these things. And you need to teach it to the people of God. He loved them. We've studied this word before. That's what it means. A special, peculiar, distinguishing, loving affection. And he chose us. And he called us. Called us. And he gave us life. And he gave us faith. And he gave us repentance. And he declared us righteous. And he brought us into his family. And he set us apart as his own peculiar possession. And now we're on the road and the highway of holiness and sanctification. The Bible says, those whom he foreknew, he will glorify. Jesus said, this is the will of God, that of all that the Father has sent me, I lose not one of them. And all that the Father has given me shall come to me. And I give them eternal life. And they will never perish. Where is your security? Where is your assurance? It is not in your own efforts. It is not in your own strength. It is not in your own obedience. It is not in your own good works. How do we know that one day we will appear in the presence of God? It is rooted in an unbroken chain of salvation. Understand it. Believe it. Study it. Preach it. Encourage the people of God. That's your privilege. That's your calling. That's your responsibility. Any questions? Now our second exam.
I think he wants to ask.
Okay, a question. Where? When he came to get the body of Christ, and he was willing to overcome his fear and identify with Jesus Christ, he became a public disciple. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father that is in heaven. Now, we talked about that this morning. He's not talking about a secret believer that is hiding behind a cloak and is whispering to a few sympathetic friends. He says, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. And you will be hated by all men on my account. If you confess me before those men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. And again he said, don't think that I've come to bring a peace, but I've come to bring a sword. And sometimes the sword divides families. Sometimes it divides friends. It turns a man's life upside down. Let me ask you a question. Does the gospel call a man to break caste? They understand the question. Let's look at a few verses. Are they understanding what I'm asking?
Possibly, perhaps not.
John chapter
4.
I remember I've told you before there are three great distinctions in humanity. And I see them in this room. What's the first basic distinction in humanity?
Caste.
Male and female. What's another one? That means race or ethnic background. You got a word for ethnic background? Where are you at, Travis?
Travis, what is race and ethnic background? Ethnic race, ethnic background. Jati, nasl. Alag alag nasl. Janwaron ki hoti na alag alag nasl. Purushon ki hoti alag alag
nasl. What's the third great distinction in humanity? Class. Different classes of people.
Huh? What? Jati? Kaun si jati? A male, female, okay, theek hai? Aur ye ho gaya nasl ho gaya gore kale aur religion color religion.
What does Paul say in the book of Galatians? In Christ Jesus, there's neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek, slave nor free. What's he talking about? Gender, race, and class. The high and the low. The rich and the poor. The educated and the uneducated. But he says in Christ Jesus, none of these things are to exist anymore. He means in our standing and relationship before God, the ground is equal at the foot of the cross. And in John chapter 4, very familiar story, Jesus was passing through Samaria. Jesus was passing through Samaria. And he was tired and he stopped at the well. And a woman came out. A Samaritan woman. And a low class Samaritan woman. But Jesus talked to her about spiritual things. And the disciples were surprised that he was talking to a woman. And it says Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. And she was a low-class sinful woman. But Jesus was willing to cross all of those distinctions in order to speak to someone regarding the truth. What did he mean by this action? That he is the Savior of, that the Samaritan said, we've now come to know and believe he's the Savior of the world. Not just the Jews. Not just a particular group of people. But he died to shed his blood for every kindred, tribe, race, and tongue. And Peter said in Acts chapter 10, now I know that God is not one to show partiality. That in every nation, anyone and everyone is welcome to Him.
परमेश्वर के पास आने के लिए उसका स्वागत है।
In the church, can a man and a woman sit down together equal before God? In the church, can a Brahmin and a Dalit sit down together side by side and worship God? In the church, can a black man and a white man sit down together and worship God? We must understand this. And in our life and in our churches, we must show this truth. So there are no secret disciples. Sooner or later, if a man is truly converted, he will come forth and confess Christ. Do you believe that? We talked about that this morning. Very quickly, just a few more minutes, then we'll take a break. Second exam. First question. What is justification? And what is the relationship between Christ's life and Christ's death to justification? Remember, we said justification has two parts. What are those two parts? What are they?
Oh,
what? That is what conversion is. That is how man is justified. That is not what justification is. That is how we're justified. That we are justified by grace through faith. Listen carefully. If it is not clear in your mouth, I mean your mind. It will not be clear in your mouth. And people will not understand. What is the relationship of the life and death of Jesus Christ to justification? Justification has two parts. The pardon of the guilt of our sin. And a legal declaration of righteousness. How can God declare us righteous? By our own righteousness? It is by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And where did He earn or accomplish that righteousness? In His life. By obedience to the commandments of God. He earned or merited a legal righteousness. And when a man believes, God will legally transfer the righteousness of Christ to his own credit or to his own record. We've talked about this many times. How can He pardon our sin? By Christ, what? By His death. How can He declare us righteous? Because of His life. In His life, He obeyed the law of God. And remember, we said righteousness is perfect conformity to a standard. And He earned and accomplished a righteousness in His life. And in His death, as a substitute, He bore the penalty of sin. Now I've asked you this question before. Some preachers preach this. Isaiah says He put upon Him the sins and iniquity of us all. Paul said He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. Many preachers say this. All of our sins, all of our iniquities, all of our corruptions, all of our pollution, all of our defilement was placed upon Christ. And on the cross, He became the most sinful, vile, polluted person in the world. Is that true? All right, here's what I want you to do. We're going to take a break. We want to take a break. I want you to discuss that and talk about it. When we come back, we will see what your answers are.